hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and I have on with me, as always in these previews, Tyler Lucas. Tyler, I used to have a boss who, for the life of him, could not say Viva the Matadors. He would always say Viva la Matador, and it still gets just deeply under my skin. Do you ever have anything a boss did that irked you to that level?
Yeah, I had a boss that had coffee breath 24/7. It's the worst. It's the worst. And those type of people like to get in your face to explain things and like get right up in your personal space. And I hated it. And I was only at that job for a year.
Can't stand being mansplained with coffee breath. Then Jacob is out again. So we're having our editor and producer Dylan Smythe step in. Dylan, I love this question. Would you rather be able to talk to land animals, animals that fly, or animals that live under the water?
I feel like two groups of animals aren't accessible to me in that equation, so I'm going to go with the ones that are, the land animals. You know, how am I supposed to go talk to an eagle? How am I supposed to go talk to a whale?
I think you just shout from the ground pretty easily. Yeah. People talk to their dogs already, so I feel like if you're...
Easy question. I hope you have better stuff prepared.
Ah, jeez. Tyler, do you have an answer to this question?
I have to go water. I'll go water on that one.
Dumb. It's terrible answer.
I would... Why? Yours is a terrible answer.
Yeah. Like,
how are you supposed to go talk to... Unless it's like a fish in a pond.
No, he's going to go snorkeling. He's going to take a snorkel out, and he's going to have intimate conversations with undersea life. Think of the conversations. It's like, hey, man, what's the weirdest shit you've seen? And you get to listen to a fish tell his story. Come on. Okay, today we're previewing Texas Tech's game against Oklahoma State at the Sunnyside Up Hour on Saturday. So let's just go ahead, dive right in with some housekeeping, some Oklahoma State notes. We are continuing through the conference with yet another Oklahoma school, so better to get them out of the way first so we don't have to deal with that ever again. Okie State Cowboys are coming to Lubbock to capitalize on the momentum from their surprising victory over Kansas State last weekend, 26-13. I say surprising not because I thought Oklahoma State didn't have a chance, but I didn't expect them to command the game the way that they did. Now, the biggest headlines to pay attention to. Say this all the time. I feel like I have it down by now. This game pits two Mr. Texas football players against each other. Texas Tech's very own Jet Duffy won the award in 2015, and Oklahoma State's Spencer Sanders won it in 2017. Both of these quarterbacks illustrate similar raw talent with very similar shortcomings. So that's going to be an incredibly good matchup to watch. Maybe not an incredibly talented and record-breaking matchup, but it'll be certainly fun to watch as both of them start to grow into their own skins. Additionally, the running back Chuba Hubbard has entered a lot of Heisman conversations after a blistering near 300-yard performance against Kansas State. We'll talk more about Hubbard in a second, but wowee, this guy's going to be a test. Another interesting headline to pay attention to is linebacker Calvin Bundage's return. As of now, as far as we know, Bundage will not be playing on Saturday, but there's certainly a high possibility that he does. I guess it's really just going to come down to whether Coach Gundy believes that he's ready or he believes that Texas Tech is a viable threat. So put a really good linebacker in there. So many variables, so little time. Tyler, are there any other points that I'm missing here?
No, I don't think so. I think this is pretty straightforward, as most Oklahoma State teams are. I think it is weird to see. I guess not weird. You always think that Oklahoma State from the early 2000s ran like an air raid scheme like we did. It's kind of funny to see their transition to, they are straight committed to the run, and they run the ball very, very well, probably better than just about anybody in the conference, and they're committed to it. And it's kind of fun to see that side of things, because now that the Big 12 is, everybody runs the spread or some version of the spread or air raid, to see Oklahoma State use that and do it well, it's pretty cool.
So I got together with Joel Penfield of Cowboys Ride for Free yesterday. You can listen to the pod, the last pod we published. And that was one thing he brought up, was how surprising the transition for not only Oklahoma State, but for Texas Tech as well, from very prominent air raid offenses to the offenses that have become pretty much reliant on the run game to succeed. And it's really working in Oklahoma State's favor. So let's just roll on into the offensive lineup for Oklahoma. QB1, Spencer Sanders. This is very much a Jet Duffy archetype. Right now has 78 completions out of 121 attempts for 8 touchdowns. Here it is, 5 interceptions. Kind of crappy, but kind of gets it done. Also prolific with the legs. He is their second most accomplished rusher so far with 380 rushing yards. So certainly somebody to keep an eye on in RPO opportunities. Doesn't really get a lot of designed runs as far as I've seen in the scouting report, but he certainly makes a lot out of scrambles. Now, the strength of this Oklahoma State offense comes from running back Chuba Hubbard. This guy is a monster. 128 attempts already at 938 yards, 10 touchdowns. This is a just rock-slinging, pistol-firing son of a gun who is just wildly efficient when he's got the rock in his hand. So we'll talk into strategy here, but Chuba Hubbard, everybody, just pay attention to this guy. Certainly a special running back, and whether he decimates Texas Tech or somehow we game plan to make him less decimating, this is certainly someone to keep your eye on and will definitely be playing at the next level. Then out at the wide receiver position, their main man is Tylan Wallace. 28 receptions for 618 yards, 6 touchdowns. This guy is kind of their Blackman of sorts. Definitely a reliable receiver, definitely a receiver with high IQ, gets open a lot. It's kind of a mismatch for most corners in the Big 12, certainly not excluding Texas Tech's defensive backs. Behind him, there's really nobody else that shows out. You have Dylan Stoner, Braden Johnson, but honestly, this Spencer Sanders' number one receiver is going to be Wallace, and expect him to hit him even when he's double covered. It's just, he's that kind of guy for Oklahoma State right now. So I knew I threw up a lot of facts. Let's just break it all down into something more manageable. Texas Tech is 79th in rushing defense, 35th in passing defense. Dylan, what is going to need to happen here for Texas Tech to avoid getting burnt, getting left behind again, like in the Oklahoma game?
I think you're making the mistake that most Texas Tech fans made last week, is you're comparing Oklahoma's offense to another team's offense. Like, you can't do that. We just went up against a Heisman front runner and an offensive genius. While I think there is reason to be concerned, because Chuba Hubbard has been a monster the last few weeks, like absolutely monstrous, the best running back in the nation, probably in the Heisman conversation. Back-to-back Heisman conversation players we're playing against. I think it's different just because they have a feature back, but I don't think you're going to stop Chuba Hubbard. I think you just have to slow down Chuba Hubbard. And something that you guys spoke about in the last podcast from yesterday, I think you just sell out to stop Chuba Hubbard and make Spencer Sanders beat you.
No, you bring up a lot of good points, and you're right. It's not fair to compare Oklahoma State's offense, which is good, to Oklahoma's offense, which is the epitome of elite right now in the college football universe. Certainly the best out there, and is going to carry them probably through this conference. So sticking to Oklahoma State, Tyler, you was mentioning earlier in pre-pod a certain skill set that Chuba Hubbard, the double B's and all the B's in his name. Hubbard, you were mentioning in the pre-pod, there's a knack that Gundy's, the creation of their offense certainly revolves around a certain play that also happens to be the play that we have the worst defense against. Can you tell us a little more about how Oklahoma State is probably planning to decimate our defense?
Yeah, so this is going to be the third game in a row where you're going to see 11 personnel and 12 personnel on the field pretty much constantly, which is quarterback, running back, depending on what kind of set, two tight ends and two wide receivers, or three wide receivers. But a lot of it's going to be based off of one quarterback and one running back. But what Oklahoma State likes to do, and what I saw in against Kansas State, was a lot of the zone read to the outside or to the boundary. A lot of stretch running, which allows the guards to pull to the weak side of the defense, which is going to be your defensive backs. They're going to be weak. And that is what we saw against Arizona. That was the adjustment they made at halftime, where they were running more to the boundary. They were running to the short side of the field. Wherever the hash was, they're running to the short side. They were utilizing that sideline and getting their strength players out to the weakness. I also think that this is a part where Keith Patterson's going to have to enforce that. I don't know how. I assume we're going to attack them with everybody. We're going to line up everybody in the box. But what I also noticed is that Oklahoma State has elite wide receiver run blocking, and that Tylan Wallace is not only a good pass catcher, but he is an amazing run blocker. He is as good as Crabtree was here at Tech, in that he loves to run block and he loves to get in your face. So they have wide receivers that aren't afraid to take on those corners and block them. So I think it's going to be a challenge for Texas Tech. I think Chuba Hubbard is what, like 40 yards away from eclipsing 1,000 in six games. I expect him to have that by halftime. Just slow him down and try to make Spencer Sanders throw the ball away.
So if we're looking at the X's and O's of this, it might be as simple as whatever side Wallace lines up on. If they go ahead and run these stretch plays, it might be as easy as identifying whatever side Wallace is on might be the side that Hubbard's going to run to. Do you think that this is, not speaking to last game in comparison, but kind of speaking to the trend of this defense, it is going downhill. I'm not seeing a lot of, and again, man, last week was just hard to comprehend because we were playing an elite offense, but it is our defense at least talented enough that I admit to believing at the beginning of the season to keep up with a offense like Oklahoma State's, because these aren't unique offenses in the Big 12. I mean, everybody in the Big 12 has a good offense for the most part. if they don't have all the pieces yet. But this is like the moniker of the Big 12 is bad defenses, not because there's not talent, but because there's really good offensive talent all across the board. Do you think that Texas Tech actually has defensive talent to keep up, or are we really not as good as we thought we might be this year?
We're not as bad as we were last Saturday. I'll put it that way. I think we're somewhere in the middle between the effort you saw against Montana State, or against UTEP, sorry, against UTEP, and the horrible thing you saw last Saturday. I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think a lot of this game is going to be exactly how, because Spencer Sanders' stat line reads exactly how Khalil Tate's did when we faced him. And I think a lot of what Keith Patterson did against Khalil Tate, he took him away. I mean, there wasn't much. I mean, except for that one long run, there wasn't much that he did that beat us. It was those running backs. And yeah, Hubbard's going to get his yardage. Make Spencer Sanders throw the ball. Make him. You just noticed that we only said one wide receiver. I mean, that's their guy. You take those two away and just let Hubbard get his yards. He's going to get them. He's going to. He's done it against Texas, which is a great defense. Just let him. I just think that we're somewhere in the middle there, and I think we're good enough to stop this team.
I think, like Tyler said, the Texas game is a good yardstick. He had two games where he went for 250 plus, but with Texas, he went for 125. And I think that's kind of the goal. If you're Keith Patterson, like, hey, let's just keep the dude under 150, 200. And I do think the talent's there. I think we have one of the best run stoppers in the country in Jordan Brooks. I expect Jordan Brooks and Chuba Hubbard to go at it quite a bit in this game. I think the talent's there. And I also think again, what Tyler said, our defense lies somewhere in between those games. You kind of, I said this in the recap podcast, you kind of throw away last week's defensive tape. You throw away the whole film, except for the fact that we couldn't make a tackle, and you move on. The talent's there. I think what I think could be interesting is you mentioned Spencer Sanders has 5 interceptions coming into this game, and that's like what Keith Patterson wants to do. I think this is the game. If we can pull off a win, you see multiple turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, with this defense, I think they've already seen something like Spencer Sanders, and I think they've taken their lumps and they can use it as a building block. How to stop Khalil Tate is how do you stop Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, that's a good point. So speaking of defense, let's go ahead and flip over to the Cowboys defense. This is a team that is ranked 98th in rushing defense and 82nd in passing defense. So nothing necessarily to gawk at. Key players to look out for in this week's matchup is linebacker Amen Ogbonbamiga. Has 42 tackles.
I'm so glad you said that name
first. Ogbonbamiga. Amen for short.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And that's what their linebacking core is going to be saying, because Amen is certainly the linchpin right now while Calvin Bundage is still ruled out. So currently has 42 tackles, is getting the most of the reps, at least most of the He's getting the most action there at the linebacker position, and he's not alone. Malcolm Rodriguez actually moved from a defensive back position after putting on a lot of weight in the offseason and is also helping out Amen up there in the linebacking core. Then you have Colby Harville and Trey Sterling, defensive backs that have been proving useful for Oklahoma State, but certainly not prolific. Tyler, is anybody I'm missing here that stands out on this defense?
No, you hit them all. I think, you know, when you look at this, I hate referencing that the Arizona game, but it really does read a lot like the Arizona game. And even in my preview, I state this looks a lot like Arizona. You know, I'm hoping that the offensive line played, I would say better against OU than they have in the previous three games. But still, with the Arizona game, they were getting pressure with just sending 3 guys. That can't happen. That cannot happen Saturday if you have any chance to win. The winner is going to be the person who wins the trenches. And I think Texas Tech has the advantage talent-wise and on paper. But so far, to this point in the season, the offensive line has been a major disappointment, and it didn't matter who was back in the quarterback. They got to keep Jet clean, got to keep him with a good pocket to throw from, at least read his progressions and see if he needs to take off. And they need to run block like nobody's business.
Yeah, the past 2 games we've played, we have gone against at least better than average offenses and probably below average defense. In both games, we've lost, and it seems without fantastic offensive production. So, understandably, Yost needs to kind of right the ship this week after just terrible, terrible showings with, I think, what should be for Texas Tech our strongest point in the offense and certainly in the wide receiver game. We've just been kind of falling flat. I'm not going to say Oklahoma has the elite defense because the numbers don't say that at all, but it looks like they're ready to kind of rickroll through a championship after whatever we just did.
I have one gripe about David Yost right now, and is that I counted, I've rewatched that OU game, unfortunately. I counted 5 times where we attacked the middle of the defense, whether that be a slant pass, an in route or curl route back to the quarterback. That is basically inexcusable. You're just trying to beat a team with swing passes, some screens, and vertical routes that he can't hit. And that's not going to win against OU, and it's not going to win against OSU. Attack the middle of the defense. I've never seen a linebacker so great in pass coverage that you don't scheme for it. I had it. Have you guys?
Not really. Dylan, how can Yost fix if at all, the fan base's opinion of him. You know, what do we need to be doing here against a defense that, again, on paper, looks beatable with the weapons that we have?
Well, problem with David Yost is he's following one of the most creative play callers in college football who put up a lot of points. And that's what Texas Tech has come to expect. And it's clear that, to me at least, that the air raid is dead in Lubbock. So change the podcast name. but I think running the ball has been working for David Yost. And it just, he seems to abandon it. And a lot of times it's because we're down. But I think if we could establish the run early and often and use it to take pressure off of Jet Duffy and then work in some creative play callings, maybe attack different parts of the field, like Tyler said, you just want to see, you just see a little bit of effort in the play calling this week.
God, you're not lying. Just a little bit of not screens. Just please, just not screens. At least, no, I'm going to be 100%. Just no screens, please. God, just, we, God.
Well, when your offensive line is so bad, you have to play, run
it's
screens.
So, it's just an awful place to be, because before the season, we were all talking about how this offensive line was like, okay, we're the most experienced. We got lots of people coming back. We got lots of veteran leadership. We're about to go out here and, you know, just own the offensive line game for the Big 12. And we haven't. And we haven't even come close. So I'm thankful now that
if Tech wants any business in this game, our offensive line has got to play this week.
Yes, and if you can go back and listen to Bruffy's comments that were just posted on social media, he even acknowledges that they embarrassed the double T last week, and I'm hoping that's more of a Tim Tebow situation where he calls out the team, and hopefully they rally around that. But it's hard to see, being a Texas Tech fan, as long as we all have been, it's hard to believe that that would be the case. But now that the Jackson Tyner experiment is over, I mean, how should we be focusing our efforts with Duffy going forward? Tyler, I mean, we've seen that he's capable of passing. Is it time to open up the field and maybe not necessarily, like Dylan mentioned, that we have a kind of a crappy offensive line, so he doesn't have a lot of time, but is there any way we can draw up plays to exploit the middle of the field?
God almighty, I can't believe I'm going to say this again, but do y'all remember in the Arizona game where one of the ESPN commentators showed a play call from Cliff and a play call from David Yost, and the differences in the wording and the differences in the descriptions? It's so simple, and I think David Yost is more fit to be calling plays for a guy like Jet Duffy. I really do. If you look at Jordan Love, if you look at almost all his quarterbacks, from Justin Herbert to just about anybody, Chase Daniel even, he's more fit to a guy like Jet Duffy who can air it out, but has the ability to make sure the defense stays honest. And I think this is, I mean, just like Jeremy said before, it's kind of crappy for us to... He played well against OU. I think he played well.
He played a lot more better. He played a lot better than we all thought he would, that's for sure.
He had that one fumble, that one classic Jet Duffy fumble where he was just trying to do too much. You've got to make sure he understands. You don't have to do too much. Like, just get us to the first down markers. And if you can't make it, get out of bounds, slide, whatever you got to do, but make sure you just leave a positive yardage situation and don't do anything more. Jet has that mindset of he's one cut away, which he is, but a lot of times you got to keep that one cut in your back pocket, man.
Damn, sounds so simple, Tyler. Thank you so much. I feel ready for
this. Oh my God, am I a quarterback coach now? Am I a quarterback coach?
You're not. You're the next coach. Once we lose this game, Yost is out, Tyler Lucas is in. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all we can really cover. Like Tyler mentioned earlier, Oklahoma State's a what you see, what you get team right now. They have a lot of rushing potential. They have really great wide receiver potential, but their defense leaves a lot to be desired. And it seems like we have the ability to stay in this game. Not going to say by any stretch of the imagination that we're going to come out and just own them. Even at home, it's 11 a.m. Don't forget that. But the line right now is at 10, and I think that's an appropriate place to be. It may swing either way, but for right now, that's a comfortable place to be. So let's roll right on in to the Big 12 pick 'em part of the podcast. I would love to I'd love to go ahead and shout out to the biggest winners of the last pod's pick 'em, Jacob and his honorary acceptor, Dylan, and Tyler for picking all of the winners correctly. Good job, Dylan and Tyler. You guys are wizards. And then, of course, by default, the biggest loser of the pod was me for getting 3/4 of the picks wrong. Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas, you failed me. Kansas, I'm super disappointed in you, man. But y'all failed me. My only redemption was picking against Tech, which is an incredible embarrassment to me. I hate doing that. And I felt like it was my only way to come out with even a small win. So now that I've washed that shame off of me, we're going to go ahead and talk about some Big 12 games that are coming up this weekend. Certainly some big ones to pay attention to. One that I am extremely excited about is Texas at West Virginia. West Virginia famously becoming a kind of torchbearer for the horns down movement. The line right now is Texas by 10.5. Dylan, how confident are you in that line?
Very confident. I haven't seen much from West Virginia this year to inspire confidence otherwise. I think I said last week, Austin Kendall's a game manager. He hasn't shown me anything other than that. And yeah, Texas should roll here. I'll take him with the spread.
Give me that shutdown look ahead sandwich. Yeah, give me that. I think West Virginia actually surprises folks. I'm not going to put UT on upset alert, but I think they'll cover. I think West Virginia will cover.
Neil Brown's certainly surprising a lot of people. The product on the field, like Dylan said, is nothing to look at for too long. But I imagine that there's always a weird the Smoking Musket blog guys mentioned that there's always a weird win in Morgantown. They were hoping it was going to be Texas. I was hoping it was going to be Texas. It's probably going to be just rolling us into our grave. So give me Texas and give me the cover of 10.5, and that half point. We'll see what the Big 12 refs do to make that happen. Next up, we have Baylor at Kansas State. Baylor is certainly hot right now with a 4-0 start. Big win over Iowa State last weekend. But the line is in favor of Kansas State by 1.5 points. Tyler, what do you got?
I was very surprised when I saw that, but I don't think anybody believes in Baylor at this point. And count me as one. I'm going to go with Kansas State.
Dylan.
Oh, I wanted to say the exact opposite. I think Kansas State's a fluke. They shouldn't have been ranked last week going into that game. Skylar Thompson doesn't know how to throw a football. Baylor Bears looked good last week. Give me Baylor.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, both good points. I was high in Kansas State when they went to play Oklahoma State. That did not work out well for Kansas State. I was high on Iowa State going to play Baylor. Did not work out well for Iowa State. So this is a super tough one. Just going to roll the dice here and say in Manhattan, Kansas, give me Kansas State, but let's keep it close. They're going to break that ridiculous line, but I think it'll be within a field goal. Now moving on to TCU at Iowa State, a team many people thought would be a lot better than they are. Certainly I did. But it is Brocktober, and crazy things happen in Ames. So, Tyler, who's coming out of this? The line is currently Iowa State 3.
I am going with Iowa State. I don't believe for a second what we saw out of TCU against Kansas is actually what TCU is. I think it's actually what Kansas is. So I think Gary Patterson needs to pack two belts and a lot of shoelaces because he's going to go through them all.
Fair enough. Dylan.
Yeah, I'm with Tyler. I think TCU is still trash and Kansas is just like the bottom of the dumpster. I think Iowa State is going to handle this game pretty easily. I don't expect much from TCU. I expect them to sell out to stop Darius Anderson, and I expect them to be successful. And then let's go ahead and just blame the whole game on our boy Sonny Cumbie at the end. Gary Patterson's going to do it. Just mark it down now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think in Ames, I was hyping it up at the beginning of this. I think in Ames, I think with a team with a more than capable quarterback in Brock Purdy, I think they're going to bounce back. And they're going to go ahead and win this game, certainly beating the spread. Give me them, Iowa State, by 10. And, yes, give me $100 on Gary Patterson somehow bringing in Sonny Cumbie. And go ahead and give me $5 on going ahead and bringing in frozen water bottles and or batteries. Because
frozen batteries.
Frozen battery. Bringing in frozen batteries. Incredibly dangerous. Next, we have Oklahoma at our fan favorite, Kansas. In Lawrence, Kansas, the line, Oklahoma, 32 points. Dylan.
32 points. Yeah, they're going to win by more. And the over under 67, give me the over. Bloodbath.
Bloodbath. Jayhawk wings everywhere. Tyler.
I'm about to do it. I'm about to say, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, Oklahoma, again, just like Texas, they're going to be looking ahead to next week, and they will not cover. They'll win. They will not cover.
Les Miles magic. Keeping Let's the go. Spread. Beating the spread. Let's go. yeah. Man, Kansas, I'm trying to stay on your hype train, but you're making it super hard at this point. I think your redemption game will come a little later in the season. Oklahoma, like we've been talking about this whole pod, just in pseudo, it's just too good this year, guys. You're going to lose, and Oklahoma's definitely going to beat that spread. I say Oklahoma beats you by probably 40 or more, that depending on how long Jalen Hurts stays in the game. But even then, you guys are trash right now, so redemption in the future. Finally, our game of the week. Because it's always going to be our game of the week. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Oklahoma State coming in, again, high after a big win over Kansas State. Whether or not you believe Dylan, if they're overrated, they certainly had the pedigree to boot. Oklahoma State took care of business. But the line is Oklahoma State only by 10. Tyler.
I am going to throw a random fact out there about Oklahoma State. They have claimed the 1945 national championship. And I think over Army, because I don't know if you guys are any history buffs or not, but in 1945, we were a little busy beating Hitler and the Axis powers in the World War II. So just for that bad mojo, I believe they've got something coming from them. But this week, I don't see it happening. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State, but I think Texas Tech and Matt Wells are going to actually cover.
All right. Some faith in the defense or faith in the offense or a little bit of both. Dylan, how you feeling about this game?
I feel like I'm going to go back and forth on this pick a few times until I actually have to make it in our like staff pick 'em. But for the sake of this podcast, man, it seems like a tall task after two really bad weeks, and I feel like there's more problems to be solved. However, things get rowdy in Lubbock. It gets weird. I really think this comes down to a really close game. Like 10 points, give me the under. This could come down to the leg of Trey Wolf or Amendola, which Amendola's ours. Get your own name, guy. But yeah, like give me Oklahoma State by a field goal.
A good point. Amendola, Oklahoma State's kicker 2 years ago, if anybody has memory, shanked two field goals within the within 25 yards. They still won that game, but they could have put it out of reach a number of times. So there's a good article, not good, don't read it, it's a waste of your time, but there's an article out there talking about how Amendola certainly has, or at least Amendola Light certainly has this game circled on his calendar because he had bad experiences in Lubbock last time he was here, so he's trying to remedy that. And I just don't think it's going to happen, man. I think that win's going to throw you off. Right now, like Dylan, until I really have to make this decision, I'm going to be pretty back and forth. Dylan, I don't know if you've seen or I noticed that on your picks for last week, kind of suffered on a lot of them. But I think that Zach, who was right below you, also suffered on a lot of them. So you may still be in second. But yeah, this is going to be a tough one. And I may get some sense talked into myself before then. But I'm going to go ahead and pick Texas Tech. Not for any reason that makes sense, but more of a gut feeling. 11 a.m. on a Saturday from a team that's super hype over beating Kansas State, who you got to imagine in their minds was a difficult opponent. And coming to Lubbock, to a team that they're expecting to probably roll over just for the nature of the way that the Big 12 is seeing us right now and the kind of product that we're putting on the field. I don't know. Hopefully Gundy, hopefully the team, hopefully Spencer Sanders does his thing and makes more interceptions. I just feel like Texas Tech's going to come out of it, but give me Tech by 3 points and maybe a late game winning thriller where Trey Wolf, best field goal kicker in the nation by my standard, will win the game for us. And Amendola will be like, well, I'll never be as good as him. So any parting thoughts from either of you?
I think it's fun that it's like the 10-year anniversary of Mike Gundy. Oh man, come after me. I'm 40.
That's 10 years since that happened.
Long live the mullet.
Wow. He's 50 now.
I'm 50.
I'm a grandpa. All right. What, Tyler?
I do want to let you guys know the last time we beat OSU at home, I was a student at Tech. It was not legally able to drink my sorrows away.
This time you're ready.
And this time I have a little bit of gray hair and able to walk into a liquor store and not get carded. Now, again, the last time Texas Tech beat a ranked opponent at home, when was that?
It was West Virginia, right? Oh, a ranked opponent?
No. Ranked opponent at home.
Excited for the top 10. They were fifth.
We had another one.
That's a top 10.
We had another one after that. Can I tell you?
Yeah, I'm kind of stumped.
The Fox game from 2013 against Gary Patterson and his 25th ranked TCU Horned Frogs.
Oh, barely the top
25. 20-10. Hey, it's a ranked opponent at home. Ever since then, we've lost 11 straight by a margin of victory of almost 20.
F. Why do we always play TCU so close?
Analytics in your face.
Yikes. Okay, well, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. Tyler, thanks so much. I will say we did beat Oklahoma State in their house last year. So even though they had a 9-game winning streak, it may be our turn for a 9-game winning streak. People, keep your faith. Keep your hope. We can do this. And if we can't, well, at least we have every single other sport. Well, that's going to about do it for us today. If you've enjoyed this preview, then be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We love the feedback, and we'd love to hear from you. So you can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid Podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Dylan, Tyler, and myself, this has been the Preview Pod for Oklahoma State. Stay wrecked, people.